We'll skip ahead to Kina Tes Zayin. And this Kina tells us a story we read last night in the Kamsa Bar Kamsa Agarita about Titus HaRasha. Titus HaRasha, of course, was this very terrible, evil Roman who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He's the one that was the Maccabee Patish. He was the one that actually broke through. And he didn't just destroy the Beis HaMikdash and the Makom HaShras HaShechina. He vandalized it. He desecrated it in the most grotesque and awful ways. In the first stanza, the Kina tells us how he took a sword, which was a sword that probably had already murdered many Jewish people, and he slashed the parochas with it, the parochas which bled. And in the fourth stanza, the Kina tells us that before he even did that, he went into the Kodesh HaKadashim with a zona, and he unfurled the Sefer Torah, and was mezana with her in the Kodesh HaKadashim on top of the Sefer Torah, a place where only the Kohen Gadol is allowed to enter once a year, and even then, if he wasn't worthy, he wasn't going to survive the spirituality of that place. And here's Titus committing such an act. And undoubtedly we were thinking, as he's walking through, wait till he gets to the Kodesh HaKadashim, that will be his undoing. Because that Kedusha will repel him, and it will destroy him, as it had so many Kohanim Gadolim during the period of Bayis Sheni. And we know the holier the place, the more tzanua the place is. And that's why the Kodesh HaKadashim, no one ever gets to see it, because it's so holy, it has to be so tzanua. That's the nature of Kedusha. Kedusha and Tzniyus go hand in hand. Not just Tzniyus in terms of, although that too, not just Tzniyus in terms of what we often think of Tzniyus as being, a woman's responsibility in how to dress. Tzniyus is a way of life. People who have Kedusha live with Tzniyus. And Chazal tell us that his motivation was to destroy Kaviyachol. He wanted to wage a war against the Ribono Shel. And he thought that this was what he was cut out to do. And it was really miraculous that, he stabbed the parochas and it started to bleed. And he didn't even pause for a minute and say, whoa, what's going on over here? Why is the parochas bleeding? It's not made of flesh and blood. It takes like a certain kind of rasha to be so unaffected by something so supernatural. It's like we've likened it in the past to the story of Bilam with his donkey. The donkey starts talking to him, and instead of Bilam saying, well, why is the donkey talking to me? What is going on over here? What does the Ribono Shel Olam want from me? He just has a conversation with the donkey. Meaning sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu, like, he puts the signs right there for us. We're sitting there having conversations with the donkey and ignoring the bleeding parochas. And maybe that's a mita keneged mita. That the averos that we've done very often are a result of a failure to be affected by signs that the Ribono Shel Olam shows us. Sometimes they're subtle, sometimes they're not so subtle. Maybe seeing the distress of other people in Klal Yisrael and not being affected enough by it or deeply enough by it is a sign that the Ribono Shel Olam shows us that we're supposed to take the heart, that we don't take the heart. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us within this person who carries out the destruction our own failings, our own inability to listen when Hashem is speaking. We dive into the Ribono Shel Olam, but we believe that we're engaged in conversation. We're engaged in conversation with the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have Nevi'im anymore that talk to us, but he talks to us in his own way, and we have to listen. One of the questions I've been asking Rabbanim recently, whenever I've had an opportunity, No one's answered it yet, really. And one of the questions that I've been asking is that a sensitive soul, anyone who's not completely blind, spiritually, even physically, can see that what's happened in Eretz Yisrael since 1948 is nothing short of a miracle. As Rav Reisman said, we see every single decade another massive aliyah from a different part of the world. From Russia, first from Iran in the 70s, then from Russia, from Ethiopia, from France. Massive aliyah. Kibbutz Golios that we've never seen before. Halavai and Bayesheni, there would have been such a Kibbutz Golios. Maybe it would have been destroyed. Ezra came back, no one came back. There's a Kibbutz Golios that is going on. So the question I've been asking is, if I want to interpret, what is Hashem telling me when Hashem builds Eretz Yisrael, allows us to build Eretz Yisrael, allows the center of the Torah universe to be Eretz Yisrael again? It hasn't been that way in a long time. You know, when Ramesh Feinstein was around, if there was a Shaila anywhere in the world of import, it went to the Lower East Side. Now it goes to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't go anywhere outside of Eretz. It goes to Eretz Yisrael. It's where the large majority of the Gedolei Torah are. It's where all the yeshivas are. It's where the majority of Klal Yisrael is or will soon be. Al pi derech hateva. So my question was, if I want to know how to interpret that, and I want to know exactly how one, let's say, Neturi Karta, Maisa Satan, you know, how to interpret that. There are Svarim I can open up and I can see and I can read and I can figure out, as confusing as that Shita might be to me. At least it's documented. There's a struggle. There's working on figuring it out. If I want to know the Hashkafa of Aschalt Degula, Reishis Michas Gula Seinu, Yumos HaMashiach, there are svarim that I could open up, that deal with it, that grapple with it, that interpret it, that tell me the Ribbono Shel'Olam is talking to us, and here is what I think he's saying, and here is how to proceed. So my question that I've been asking Gedolei HaRabbanim is, my impression is, I could be wrong, my impression is that 80% of Klal Yisrael believes neither of those things. Where are the Svarim that interpret what's been going on, that interpret these miracles that God is talking to us, which you cannot deny, you have to be blind and stupid? Where are they? And everyone is so polite and so nice that they don't answer the question. And the answer is that largely, we're ignoring it. We need this cognitive dissonance in order to justify our continued existence in Galus. We're largely ignoring the messages that Hashem is giving us. We're largely ignoring the direct conversation that Hashem is having with us. Hashem is sending bleeding parochuses and talking donkeys. And we're just, you know, and burning bushes and, you know, okay. Nothing to see. There's something there that I just want to add about this Titus Kina. Another point, and that is that I think there's some comfort to be gleaned by the way in which, the ease with which Titus achieved his goals. The Gemara we read last night, I guess it never really occurred to me before, but Titus didn't do anything. Like, he had no work to do. All the hard work was done before him. Right? The Gemara said that Neron Kesar was first appointed to be the one that attacks Yerushalayim, but he converted to Judaism, so that didn't work out for the Kesar. So then he sent a second choice, Aspasinus Caesar. Aspasinus Caesar did all the work. He spent 3 years with his troops surrounding Yerushalayim. He's the one that made life unlivable inside Yerushalayim. He's the one that laid the groundwork that caused the machlokas between the Bar Yonim and the Chachamim, where the Jewish people themselves started to fight with each other and we couldn't figure out what to do. Aspasinus Kesa really put in the work. And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai makes it out of the city. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has a conversation with Aspasinus Kesa and he calls him a melech, Shalom Alecha Melcha, Shalom Alecha Melcha. And Aspasinus Kesa at that moment is appointed melech. So he's appointed melech, he's got to get back to Rome. So he needs to appoint someone else. So he sends Titus in. And Titus walks right in. Just waltzes right in. And takes Yerushalayim and the Mikdash. He didn't do anything. He didn't do any of the work. If you're going to be our enemy, at least work for it. And that to me is a sense of, it comes with a sense of nechama. And the reason it comes with a sense of nechama is because nothing that a person does or accomplishes, in my limited life experience, I can tell you, that nothing that a person does or accomplishes without hard work will ever have a kiyum. And therefore, this korban can't have a kiyum. It can't be forever, it can't be lasting, because it was too easy for him. It's true of Kedusha also, and we have to be sensitive to that. When we want to achieve in Kedusha, we're always, you know, I was asked to give a shir last week, or a talk, a shmooze, I don't know what you call it, like how to become a Talmud Chacham. Eitzos, how to become a Talmud Chacham. Look, there's ways to maximize your time and there are ways to waste your time, even while you're learning, focusing on the wrong things and things like that. There are wrong things you could do, but there's no shortcut. One of my children said to me, I'm so disappointed. I was waiting for you to say, oh, here's how you do it. And like, I could just, you know, it doesn't work that way. Nothing has a kiyum if it comes easily. Rav Sacks shared with us a gevaldik agra, a bir agra in Yeridea. Probably not allowed to say it in Tishba, but I'll say it quickly so it won't count. In Yeridea Simin Reish Samechei, the Gon quotes all the makoros for Shalom Zachar. Right? Why do we have a Shalom Zachar when a baby is born? When a baby boy is born? So there are all sorts of makoros. So the Gra quotes all the makoros, except he doesn't quote all. You can learn a Gon and you learn by what he quotes, you also learn by what he leaves out, what he doesn't quote. He lists all the Zohars and everything, all the reasons for Shalom Zachar. He leaves out the reason of the Taz and the Prisha. Taz and the Prisha say that it's a Sudas Avelus for Shichas HaTorah. That the baby forgot all of the Torah, the Malach gave him the patch, the Gemara Nida says, and therefore the baby forgot all of the Torah, so we need to be Menachem Avel on all the Torah that he lost. The Gra doesn't mention that one. So you have to know how to read a Gra. It's not just what he does mention. Why doesn't he mention it? So Chaim Shmulevitz said, because it can't be, it's not shayach, that there's any avelus for forgetting Torah that was acquired without amelus. Even Masabalan. He didn't do anything. When you work for something and it's taken from you, then there's avelus. If something is gifted to you, there's no avelus. The din of a kavod Talmud Chacham is not because of what he knows, but it's because of how hard he worked to get there. They say that they asked the Chelkas Yov, why don't you stand for a pregnant woman when she walks in the room? After all, there's a Talmud Chacham inside of her. He's learning Kala Torah Kula. They said, no, there's no Amelus. If there's no Amelus, there's nothing to stand for. So that's the Nechama of the whole Maisa with Titus, that there was no Amelus by Titus. If there's no Amelus, there's not going to be a Kiyum. And we're going to see Nechama as a Shem Tcharo. Zuchara, Sashara, Sitzah, Vidim, Shalav, Charbo, Vavim, and Vavim.